And when we go out and we see somebody that's on the street, we can get very, very judgmental. Most people have a love-hate relationship when they see somebody on the corner. Homeless, God bless. We have all kinds of thoughts that go through our minds. And the reality is, out of that list of reasons and the other, I don't know, 100 and some, that you can reason why people get that way, the why is less important than what to do about it. And this 16-year-old kid that was slipped something in a drink and became a heroin addict, when he's out on the corner, he doesn't have the capacity to think like somebody else. Not just a Christian, just to have capacity to think as a human being. They become a social outcast. Maybe to feed their habit, at first they slipped a little something away from some friends, or they stole their parents' credit card or something like that. Well, I got news for you. You can be a great parent. And when enough of this stuff happens to you, you say, enough. I love you, but. And you put up the thing there. So they don't remember, I love you, but. They just know that they're gone. They've been kicked out of their house or whatever. Now they're homeless. Their friends have rejected them. Any even Facebook friends, the only ones that on Facebook are ones that will talk in street vernacular to them and they're talking about getting their next hookup. They don't have friends. They don't have family. They don't have a relationship. When you're broken, come here. This means everything. I don't care if you stink. I don't care if you're drunk. I don't care if you're stoned. You go and hug somebody and it makes a difference. Because that's what love is. It's saying, I don't have any strings attached. I don't have any prejudgments about you. We might, I mean, I still go through times, there's certain homeless people that's like, oh, I don't have the capacity to deal with this person. Well, guess what? I don't have capacity to deal with any of them. God has the capacity, and he gives it to us. That hug changes people's lives. And it's not like, in Romans 12:2 is one of my favorite scriptures where you know, be not conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Wouldn't it be cool if we could walk up and say, hey, Jesus loves you, so do I. Come on to church, and then their lives turn around. For us to get a person in church, sometimes it takes 3 years of begging and feeding and going out and just loving them. Because the trust is so gone. Nobody trusts them anymore. And because they're so expert at blaming people, they just want to push and push and push. So when you can break through that barrier, people start to care. And they say, okay, I'll try it. And then they come into this church, and people just come around them and love them up and stuff. And they start to get it. There's a lot of success stories. There's a lot of failures, too. People will come in, and they'll come for a few weeks. They'll go to 7 Footsteps and die. I mean, 4 weeks ago today, we had 3 homeless people die in one day. All from overdoses, all with fentanyl, and one was murdered. 5 weeks ago today, one of the homeless guys that went all the way through 7 Footsteps and 2 classes in Bible college was hit by a train. He was drunk. His wife was here Wednesday. They have 6 kids. And it wasn't in his makeup to get out of the woods because the devil had him. Just because you accept Christ doesn't mean the devil doesn't have you by the juggler and is just constantly trying to pull you down. There's seasoned Christians in here that the devil is trying to get down. He doesn't quit. He's relentless. He's a deceiver. And for these folks, the devil will take that lack of a relationship and the lack of love, and he will expand it. I'm telling you, one of the most heartbreaking things to do is to walk out into the woods at 9 or 10 o'clock at night because they don't know that you're out there, and to hear the way that they talk. At 5 o'clock at night, go back there and they're passed out in their tent. That's their life. Some of them have cell phones. You've heard Pastor Schaller mention that. They go to McDonald's or Dunkin' Donuts, charge up their phone, and that's their life. They get home and maybe they can pull up a movie or something, but the movie has no meaning because they're losing their mental capacity. And I hear often the folks in the church that go to Aldi's, we call them our drunks. There's a whole camp behind Aldi's. There's right now there's 5 people living there, and that can go down to 1, and then it'll be up to 15. And you say, well, at least they're hanging around each other. I'm sorry. We went out there the other night after church and just felt led to go there, and there's a lady. It was a chilly night. She's in a hospital, one of the paper outfits, and she's shivering. She's passed out drunk. I said, Brittany, what? You cold? Yeah. So we put a blanket on her and walk her away. You know, I mean, but she's one that maybe a month, 2 months, or a year she'll come to church, or she'll be dead. And when we go out, we try and pray this up a lot, because you do have to be prayed up when you're going out there. The devil is out there. We're going out to have a slugfest with the devil. He knows the Bible a whole lot better than we do. He's a manipulator and a deceiver. So if we're not prayed up, we could get beat up. And I have seen people get beat up and get caught up in some of the street drama. I'll do one more recent example, and then I'm going to flip the page here. On Thursdays, we get food donated on Mondays and Thursdays and take it to different camps or to the library. And at the library, this guy that we all know very well, he's considered a nice guy in the homeless community. Because when somebody's newly homeless, he says, here's where you can get a tent, here's where you can get a meal, here's where you can get a shower, here's a camp, here's a place to set up. And he's the nicest guy. When I saw him, he was screaming and cussing at his girlfriend inside the library. And I said, come on, I have food, I'm trying to break it up. He was relentless. He was like if there were more than one of him, it would have been like a wild dogs on an innocent victim. He was going for the jugular. By the time we got to my car, I raised my hand. I said, calm down, calm down, calm down. And I'm trying to pray at the same time to have some wisdom here. But this is a pretty dramatic event. And when he gave me and I just got manipulated. He kind of changed his posture like this. I dropped my arm and he cold cocked his girlfriend. Knocked her to the ground. Knocked her glasses off. Her glasses cut into her head. Bruised neck, bruised face. And I'm a former Marine. I wanted to kill him. Thank God. Thank God that I stood in between them. I said, go away, go away, go away. And it was a fight just to get him to leave. And I picked up the young lady and I said, come on, let's go. And she was crushed. The homeless people, their relationships, if you can have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, it's built on nothing. And if it gets broken in any way at all, it's crushing like you couldn't imagine. It's like being married for 50 years and then your husband walks out on you or your wife walks out on you. Because it's a codependency. And I said, well, let me, I prayed with her and I said, let me take a picture of your neck and face. And she said, why? And I said, in case he does it again, she said, no. So security came over from the library and she kind of went away. And I just sat in my car and prayed. And sure enough, he came back out with 2 guys, got around her in a circle. Security came back over with me in case we had to intervene. And then the guy that did this came over to me. And it's just like Pastor Scheller says with the entitlement mentality. You wanted to take a picture of her neck? You trying to get me in trouble? You're supposed to be out here helping us. Oh my God. That was his attitude. And you know, you can only get so involved because it's like battered wife syndrome. He was on a bicycle. He drove off. She went over, got her bicycle, and started following him like a wounded puppy. And this stuff happens all the time. Street life is totally, totally different than what we're accustomed to. But as it relates to the message from this week with love a more excellent way, it's really a battle out there. In spiritual warfare, Ephesians 6:12, I'm sure you all know this well, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's just the devil trying to get at them. And then if you're trying to be helpful and show them love, the devil wants to come at you. And we hear it all the time. So there's some really, really well-known portions in the Bible. We're going to kind of bring one of them to life for you a little bit. This is from Luke 10. But I just want you to understand that at the foundation of all this, spiritual poverty is this: a lack of relationship with a human being and with God. And for me, the definition of hell is lack of God in your life. It's hell on earth. And it's torment. And you know, the devil is going to say, we got a cure for that. We can drink your problems away. Or we can put something in your arm. Or we can sleep around. And it's just everything. And those are the well-known, like, when I was a young man, I was a hippie. And it was like sex and drugs and rock and roll. That was the battle cry. It goes so much deeper. It's unforgiveness. It's bitterness. It's anger. And these are like the kinds of sins that we don't talk about. To them, they don't know that it's sin. They don't even know Jesus. 22-year-old last week, why don't you come to church? I don't believe in that stuff. Well, what do you know about Jesus? Jesus who? Well, what happens when you die? You die. And there's a lot of young people out there that are homeless. They've never been introduced to anybody that loves them. And their parents, I mean, if Lord willing, if this lady shows up tomorrow, she and her son are supposed to be here and be baptized. This young man is so awesome and has so much potential. But as young as he is, you think, how could he possibly get into that? Because his mom is into that. This is generations of this stuff for some of these people. It's just terrible. So in Luke 10:30, most of you know this story. Young man's coming down the road. The Bible actually says a certain man went down to Jerusalem. Let's express what went down is. That's... It's a physical description. It's a 3,300 foot drop in a 17 mile period. You might not think that's a lot, but it's pretty much going like this. Downhill. Yeah, downhill, and it's the perfect place for an ambush. So Choice here is going to come on up. Choice? Yeah. Choice is the guy that's walking by the highway, and he's going down, and this is like one of them sharp turns on a steep road right here. And, you know, you can be going down the path of life. It can be going uphill. It can be going downhill. You just do not have a clue what's going to happen. You don't know how the devil is going to get you. And, you know, we don't like the stereotype in here, so that's why we got this big guy up here. And all of a sudden, your life can change. This is reality. Yeah, now, in the Bible, this was robbers that came to beat him and left him for dead and took his cell phone. That's cruel. So he's just been left for dead by this guy. And now, in modern day times, we got something else that happens here. It's called the devil. And he comes up and he beats him with something else. He beats him and gets him into this fallen state. He might not be physically beat up this way, but he is emotionally beat up. And he is physically beat up because he's not eating on a regular basis, or she, because there's a lot of women that are living out there too. And just everything is falling down. What? Yeah. So, in the Bible, the story goes on to say that he gets beat up. Now, a certain priest came down that road. This would be Father Carl. And he sees our guy. Whoa. Now, let's take this story forward a couple thousand years. And Let's take the person that just came out of church. And it's like, oh, we're going to the Golden Corral. Or the Hibachi Grill or Kabuto's or IHOP. You can name all the restaurants, but there's no time for this person. So surely, you know what? That person probably came from a bad church. They don't understand a more excellent way, right? So then a Levite comes through. It's 2018. They're gender neutral. Whoa. Oh, wait a minute. I thought that was from a different church. Must not know the more excellent way. The reality is, in today's world, whether it's on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Friday, you name the day of the week, people will see the folks, and it could be somebody like this, and they're just gonna go by. They don't want to get involved. I think it was maybe 2 months ago, we went to a place called Bum Park, and this fellow was on the bench, and he was nodding meaning getting ready to overdose. And his buddies was standing there and said, oh, he'd be all right. We do this all the time. We just took a bunch of pills. I didn't catch the we. And I said, well, you guys watch him. So we went on and through the park, and when we were leaving the park across the street, this guy had overdosed. Fallen, cracked his head open, and we saw him, thank God, and stopped to call an ambulance and put a bandage on his head. The guy that said he was going to watch out for him was OD'd across the street in Bum Park. So I guess from an ambulance point of view, they got two for the price of one. Here's what's really, really troubling. We talk about the gospel. These folks aren't track getters. You give them a track like this, it is going to be trash. Once in a while, if we put them in their tents, they'll read them later on. They need constant love, and they need consistency that says, I'm going to be here, I'm going to be here. And they will lie to us. I had a really nice camera in my car, and it was in a case, and I went to use it for work. The case is there, the camera was gone. That happens. I get stolen from all the time. But you know what? The little stuff that we go through, stand up for just a second here. Hold that for me. He borrowed it from that guy. Yeah. Who's got the dollar? Yeah. So here's what we do now. We see this guy out on the corner. Our love-hate relationship is going on. Hopefully, if we're prayed up and we've learned a more excellent way, we do it a little bit different. But this is typically what happens. Okay, you can roll out. Yeah. Yeah. Saw that he was using it for alcohol. Here's the point of that. The minute that I do this to that lost person, I've just enabled them. They don't need money. They need a sandwich, they need a hug, and they need something like this. Hey, what's going on, man? Dude, you're jacked up. Hey, put this down, man. I want to pray for you. You don't need that. Look, you know what homeless is? Huh? Not roofless.
Okay.
It's somebody that don't know God. You know God?
A little bit.
Let's talk about it. That's really what we're looking for is to... meet them. Okay, thanks. Meet them on their level. So, oh, wait. Now you can get back down there. All right, get back down there now. I'm sorry. I changed the script a little bit there. So, in the Bible, there's another person that comes along. This is the person that goes to greater grace, I guess, because it's a more excellent way. But there's no holier than thou attitude. This is somebody that just gets it. They get it that agape love is love with no strings attached. I don't care if you stink or you smell or wait, that's the same thing, right? Yeah. Yay! So the Good Samaritan today is the same as the Good Samaritan back then. Are you willing to take an extra step to see that person with love that has no strings attached? It's like, if I help you, are you going to do this for me? No. When you help them, you're going to get nothing in return. That should never be the goal. I would tell you this, on our outreach team, I think we feel like the most blessed people on the planet. Because we get to see lives transformed. We get to see the other side too. The people that die, that's hard. I preach in a nursing home. I see people die every other week because that's what they're there to do. But when you see, if you've been down to the booth, you'll see a little cross there. This guy, Monk, he's like 34 years old, good-looking guy, came to church a couple times, just as nice as could be. You know, he's not here anymore. So when we go out on an outreach or when you see a person, you might be the only Jesus that they see before they die. So you have to make it powerful. And the most powerful isn't this, thus saith the Lord. See, if I don't have Jesus in my heart, whatever the Lord says doesn't matter. But one thing that we all know is that somebody that's suffering spiritual poverty, that they don't know relationships with people, a real relationship, they have no concept of what love is, that hug, that smile, that sandwich. I tell you, you blow somebody away when you go up there and say, hey, I'll come back with some food. And you actually do it. They're like, whoa. Now, for our team, they expect it now. But for strangers, see, we're telling you all, this is all the good stuff. I could tell you, most of you have seen Whitney out on Pulaski Highway and Rossville Boulevard. Whitney will tell you about how many men come by and proposition her, hey, I'll give you 50 cents if you do something. Or they spit at her, they call her whore, every name in the book. So you got a broken person. And it's just like the man that comes home, he's had a bad day and he kicks the dog. They're kicking these people and they're treating them like dirt. And I got news for you. There's a lot more people out there that are treating them with hatred than with love. So we have a lot of work to do. There's that Good Samaritan, by the way, when she took the fellow to the inn, said, here's a couple denarii. If it costs any more, I'll pay it when I come back. That means if you're going to put these people into something, you need to follow up with it. We try to get them out and into rehab programs. Actually, our best program is this. Most of the heroin addicts in the Baltimore metro area are given a tool of the devil. Hey, we can get you off of heroin. Try methadone. You don't have to shoot it up. So the clinic's right down the street here. And I'm sure if there's any nurses or anybody in here, they might not like this, but at 80 bucks a dose, they don't want you off of it. 1,000 people in there, 80 bucks a dose every single day. It's a money machine. And you trace that back to pharmacology. I think that's witchcraft or something. I'm not a scholar at that stuff. Pharmakia. Yeah, so there you go. Sorcery. It's a tool of the devil. Our program, we have a good rehab program. Come to church on Monday, go to 7 Footsteps. If you finish that, go to Next Step. If you finish that, go to Bible College. Oh, by the way, on Tuesdays, come to Grace Overcomers. It's a substance abuse program. On Wednesdays, come to church and get loved up by the body. On Thursdays, you can come to my house. We'll do a Bible study. Or somebody else's house, we'll do a Bible study. Friday night, we'll give you off unless we can connect you with somebody. On Saturday, come to an outreach. And Sunday, it starts all over. It's good, orderly direction. That's the little God. And if you get them in that superstructure around godly people, their lives change. Hang on just a minute, okay? When they get into that kind of a program where it's not dependent upon drugs, they start to see it. And the success rate, it's not like, in a methadone program, they say, oh, we have an 80% success rate. That means 80% of the people will be on methadone the rest of their life. That's not success. In the substance abuse programs, AA and NA, you be in that program for 30 years and go up and say, my name's Ray, I'm an addict. Okay, you are what you say you are. I'm a child of God. My identity is with Christ. I don't want to be called something. I don't want to be called my failure forever, because that's what it is. And, we can wrap it around a bad mistake or something. The truth is the devil got somebody, and our job, if we're following a more excellent way, is to do everything in our power by the blood of Jesus Christ in our heart to lift that person up. We come in here and edify everybody. Look, hey, you're awesome. Every time I see you, man, you're just so full of love. I love you, man.
And I'll give you a hug.
Oh, man. That wasn't planned. He gets it. But we can do that in the church and make everybody feel good all day long. Can we take the church outside and do it? So why would you do that? Now comes the guilt trip. You ready? We're going to jump ahead in the Bible to Matthew 25, 30, and 46. Most of you know the story, whatsoever you did to the least of these, you did unto me. I'm going to read this from the Message. When he finally arrives, blazing in beauty and all his angels with him, the Son of Man will take his place on the glorious throne. All the nations will be arranged before him, and he'll sort all the people out, much as a shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting sheep to his right and goats to his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, "Enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. And here's why. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to visit." Then those sheep are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you?" Then the king will say, "I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did it to one of these, to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me you did it to." So that's whatsoever you did to the least of these, you've done unto me. That's awesome. And that's like God is saying, this is the way that I want you to live your lives. But then the story doesn't end there because there's a part B. And this is the scary part. And this is, I mean, for me, this is a calling. And it's not from a guilt trip or anything. It's just like I actually believe that the Great Commission means that we're supposed to go out and spread the gospel. We do it different ways, and this convention is about being a global church and global Christian. But we got neighbors, and we need to bring in the neighbors too. So here's part B to that. Then they'll turn to the goats, the ones on his left, and say, "Get out, worthless goats! You're going for nothing but the fires of hell. Why? Because I was hungry and you gave me no meal. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was homeless and you gave me no bed. I was shivering and you gave me no clothes. Sick and in prison and you never visited." Then those goats are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering or sick or in prison and didn't help?" And he'll answer, "I'm telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you've failed to do one of these things to someone who has been overlooked or ignored, you failed to do it to me." Then those goats will be herded to eternal doom, but the sheep to their eternal reward. So this is another way that love with no strings attached. And because we all got to see Tim, come on up, mugster. Tim's the bad guy in this story, right? He's the one that robbed somebody. And so we have our notions about him. By the way, when you talk to homeless people, the reason that they can't get jobs is because they have felonies. Their felonies are because they're stealing all the time to feed their habit. But they can get jobs. So we have our preconceived notion that Tim, you can come on up here, Tim. Tim is the bad guy, Carl. So we just before you step up, we know for a fact that we saw this guy. We're eyewitnesses to the fact that he mugged Choice. He left him for dead. And the cardinal sin, he took his cell phone. That's bad. See? So, in the modern age, people say, "Oh, karma, what comes around will go around." So here's how it works. Come on, Carl.
Where it can...
So this guy's laid out here. And, oh, wait, before you do that, He's the bad guy. He's a hellion. He's a robber. He doesn't care about anybody. We're supposed to hate him, right? Yeah, right. That's what the world tells us. Let's see what Jesus tells us.
Red pudding?
Yeah!
Please don't. Can I tell you just something right here? Did you know Jesus loves you? Just the way you are. Just the way you are. Yes, absolutely. He doesn't care about what you did, what you're going to do. He just loves you. Just the way you are. And he wants you to get to know him. He loves you. And you're not alone. That's you'll never be alone. We'll come every week and we'll pick you up and we'll take you to church and we'll visit you and we'll bring you food and we'll cry with you. And we really care about you because God cares about you and gives us his love for you that only he could give. We don't understand why we love you, but it's because God wants so much to show you how much he loves you.
I love it, man. Deal with it. You know what, though? These are not paid actresses. When those tears flow, it's because they're broken. And when we keep talking about love a more excellent way, it's got to be love from the heart. Everything that God has, that he's poured into you, pour it out to somebody else. And it's like, you're not going to get, okay, well, gee, thank you for bringing me to church. I feel good. I mean, that same person could be the one that dies that night, or goes and kills somebody. We don't know. We need to know this. The Great Commission says to go out and to spread the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the end of that story, let's see here. This is jumping back one. The question from Luke was, which of these three was the good neighbor? It was the Good Samaritan, right? Well, what's a neighbor? And isn't there some scripture or two about loving your neighbor? I don't know. You guys are the Bible scholars, wouldn't you? I think it's love the Lord your God with what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, you know what? Love comes in a lot of different flavors. It is building up people in the body and stuff, but it's a lost and dying world. And when we say the least of these, they're not really the least. When you get to know these people and you find out what got them there, they're just jacked up people that circumstances or something stepped in there into their path. Do they make bad choices? Absolutely. Do every one of us make bad choices? Absolutely. So there's a story. When you look at this, by the way, do you have a love-hate relationship? You see the God bless on there. Is that written on there as an afterthought to manipulate the good Christian people? Because the good Christian people are the ones that are taken out. They get more money from good Christian people than anybody else. Take them a sandwich. Give them a hug. That's what they really need. Did I get everything, girls? Let's see if I got everything here.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, your question.
Yeah, in the homeless community, the ones who are drug addicts, when you go out to witness to them, how many of them statistically end up in prison?
42%.
Wow.
Yeah. His question was, when we go out into the woods and stuff, how many of the people end up in prison? Right now, this is from last year, the statistics is 42%. We went on last Saturday's outreach, or the Saturday outreach before, I think Tim and I went back into the woods to a new camp, And this lady, Lisa, that we all know very well, had a needle in her arm. And she saw me and she started to turn. I said, no. You don't have to take it out for me. I just want to talk to you before you die. Now, you could say, man, I'm harsh. No, these people know me. They know I'm not going to pull any strings. And when I get them one-on-one, I'm the guy that will be out there and pull them up and say, I don't want you to die. Salvation is so awesome. And the alternate is so scary. We have been blessed with the privilege to make a difference in people's lives by caring, by loving people with all we got. I mean, you think about it. Ultimately, Jesus loved us with all he had. When we talk about laying down our lives, that's not laying down your life. It's just being loving to people. You know, it's now in other countries, you know, it might be different where, you know, you constantly have an Islamic onslaught or something like that. But out here, these are just broken, messed up people that want somebody to love them. And if you love them, you have a greater ability to bring them into the kingdom of heaven versus die. But there's a great urgency. It's like sometimes when we're going on our outreach, in our prayer, we kind of slip in a couple of admonishments out there. We have such a great time. It's so much fun. But when we're dealing with people, we don't want to hear about your past life and the cookout or something like that. We want to be talking about Jesus. So, Father, thank you for giving us hearts, for giving us your heart. We just pray that you'll keep a fire in our hearts to go and try and win the lost. And Lord, we know we can't save anybody. You do all the work. We're just your mouthpiece and your legs. Bless everybody here, and thank you for Greater Grace World Outreach. In Jesus' name, amen.